Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, hoping that you are well. Joining us once again for another show right here on Progressive Radio Network. And before we get started, I'd love to invite you to visit our website at naturalnurse.com. And when you're there, right on the front page, you can click on sign up for newsletters, and then you'll get all our newsletters, which, by the way, aren't many. Those of you who are on our newsletter list, and there are 15,000 of you there, I only send something out maybe now and then, maybe once a month, so you're not inundated. And you can always just check for yourself by going to naturalnurse.com and click on calendar on the top. On calendar, you'll be able to find all the up and coming classes. Like this week alone, we have the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification class. And you can join in on that at any time, because although we do the classes live, they're also archived. And that gives you 18 CEU credits for nurses, nurse practitioners, licensed massage therapists, acupuncturists, and you don't have to be any of those to take the class. You can take it for your own information, or if you're thinking of becoming a professional herbalist, such as a RH, a registered herbalist, the courses go towards that as well. So join us for that. We also have a few free classes coming up this week. Actually, there's one tonight, which is totally free and open to the public. It's being hosted by the American Holistic Nurses Association of Broward County. And there's a free sign-up link right at naturalnurse.com under calendar. And that's going to be about hemp, CBD, what you want to know. Why is it the hot topic that it is? And of course, I'll be talking about things like I always do that you may not have heard elsewhere, such as not only the legal aspects, by the biochemistry, the difference between full spectrum and raw, and all these new words that are floating around in terms of things like CBD oil and full cannabis hemp. So you'll learn a lot, also different application techniques, such as ancient techniques that were used by the Ayurvedic physicians thousands of years ago. So that's tonight. It is live. It is free. Just go to naturalnurse.com under calendar. And then we have another free class this week, which is all about iron. A lot of people need iron and they don't even know it. And if you do need iron, what kind is the best to take? If you're taking an iron supplement, read what's in it. Is it ferrous sulfate? If it is, you don't want to take that, because that is the one that's used conventionally, but it's also the one that causes black stools and constipation and problems. Why? Because it releases singlet oxygen, which is an extremely aggressive oxidative molecule that's a free radical. So you don't want to use that kind. And you'll find out lots more about iron. In fact, it's holy nature and it's magical nature and it's alchemical nature, because we cover all of those things. And that is a free lecture that does have credit for health professionals as well. So those are just a few of the things that you'll find if you go to naturalnurse.com under calendar. And also you can go to Natural Nurse on the web in terms of Facebook, the Natural Nurse. That's another way to get in touch with us. So either one is fine, and we love to hear from you. So today we are so happy to bring on board as our guest Dr. Lynn Lafferty, who is a PharmD, ND, DACBN. She's got lots and lots of letters after her name. You've been studying. And Dr. Lafferty is a doctor of pharmacy and is a licensed pharmacist, naturopathic doctor, with a diplomat from the American Clinical Board of Nutrition. She is a master herbalist and a wonderful chef. which I can attest to, who is committed to finding the safest and most effective means to promote health and wellness over disease and illness. She is an endowed professor and assistant clinical professor in the Nova Southeastern University College of Pharmacists and has functional clinical nutrition and herbal therapy practice right there at Nova Southeastern University Clinic Pharmacy. Before that, she has worked for years at NSU College of Osteopathic Medicine, and she put together an integrative medicine department and created the certificate in functional nutrition and herbal therapy. Her research is focused on natural medicine and supplementation and is currently conducting research on antibiotic resistance and natural immune builders, especially with an herbal consideration for the elderly population. So you can find her at drlynnlafferty.com. That's drlynnlafferty.com. And of course, as always, on our archive after today's show, we'll have that link so you can just go right to it instead of, don't try to write it down while you're driving, right? If you're driving to work or you're in the car. So wait till you get home and go to the archive and find the link. And she has new courses for the public as well as professionals. For the public, it's called Becoming Your Own Health Investigator. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Lynn.
Thank you, Alice. Thank you.
Oh, there you are. I'm so happy to hear you. You sound a whole lot better. Thank you so much.
I was trying to use my headset. I guess computers aren't my thing.
You know what it is? When you put the headset on, there's a little button that you have to find that changes it so that the sound is coming through your headset.
I see.
So you can talk about that with your assistant a little later, but we are hearing you through the regular microphone on the computer, so that's good. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
So let's go back in time, Dr. Lynn. And, you know, you are a pharmacist. First, let's talk about what made you become a pharmacist.
Well, you know, as a kid, I loved chemistry.
No, we have to go louder and closer. You got to get real close.
As a kid, I loved chemistry. I loved biology, and I even had my own little chemistry set. And so I was just always interested in working with health and pharmacy. And I had contemplated becoming a medical doctor, but my boyfriend at the time just graduated from medical school and said, "Don't do it." So I'm very happy that I became a naturopathic doctor instead. So very exciting time, I think, for my background and what I love and what I learned as a kid, too, from my grandmother.
Well, let's talk about that. Where did you grow up and what did your grandmother have to do with your interest in natural health?
Yeah, I grew up in New York State, Western New York, quite west, about 50, 60 miles south of Buffalo near the Finger Lakes. And my grandmother had a 150-acre farm. It was organic. They didn't call it organic back then. They just didn't use the chemical fertilizers and pesticides. And she never took a medication until she was 80 years old. And this was in 1980 because we were in a car accident together and she'd broken her hip, because you didn't have seatbelt laws even back then. And she'd flown under the dashboard when we hit a tree in the snow. And so anyway, long story short, they said she wasn't going to live, that she had less than a 0.001% chance of living. But when she came out of the surgery, they said she had bones like a 50-year-old. And I remember watching her at 80 years old, climbing ladders and pruning her trees and things, because she really did live a true organic lifestyle. And she would take us for walks and show us the turkey tail mushrooms and the mandrake roots and the ginseng roots and peppermint and all sorts of things that she had in her herbal medicinal medicine chest. And so she really lived this way. And when I was in pharmacy school, actually, I graduated in 1982, We learned a lot of natural things. As a matter of fact, a lot of the products I give that are animal tissue products, Lilly Pharmaceuticals used to make them back then. And it's interesting because the Dean Emeritus, who's about, I guess he's probably between 85 and 90 at the pharmacy school, he used to work for Lilly back in the 1960s. And he said their number one product were liver tablets, desiccated liver tablets, where they just take, you know, cow's liver and they dry it and then they make it into a pill form and you take the ingredients from that. And so these products were used, they were prescribed. One thing that was always prescribed back then, and I prescribe it to my patients because it's available, is bile salts if they've lost their gallbladder. That was just a prescription that everyone got that lost their gallbladder. And I'll tell you, it makes a huge difference to people that have lost their gallbladder. And on my site, actually, I have a little questionnaire about, and also a blog about bile salts, because they're so important. And even as I look at the literature more and more, it amazes me, different studies about bile and treatments that they've used with bile. One being is psoriatic arthritis, and this was done, I believe it was in Poland. It was one of the Eastern European countries. They took over 800 patients with severe psoriasis, and half of them got bile salts, and the other half got the drugs. And 79% had a total clearing of their psoriasis with the bile salts, where I believe it was something like 29% with the drugs. And then 2 years later, they looked at the ones that had gotten the bile salts versus the drug, and 59% were still clear with the bile salts, where only 6% were still clear on the drugs. So there are so many things there with bile salts. They're antimicrobial. They help with a certain type of taurine conjugation, which is an amino acid. So there's so many things. And one of the things that, you know, we're taught in medical school, pharmacy school, nursing school is that, oh, you're constipated because you don't drink enough water, which could somewhat be true. But what, in my experience, why people are constipated is because they aren't putting out enough bile, because bile is like...
You know, that's interesting, Dr. Lynn. I want to ask you something. You're using that term, you know, constipated, which of course many people feel they are. And I know that many people have been told, especially by a conventional physician, they'd never be told this by a natural healthcare provider or a functional doctor, that if they go to the bathroom and empty their bowels like once a week, that's normal.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to say about that?
You know, we have to go back to think about babies, right? They go after every meal, and that they're the healthiest. The younger you are, the healthier your body's going to be, unless you have some genetic disorder. So yeah, I tell my patients they should go once or twice a day.
Yeah, once or twice a day is a whole lot different than once or twice a week.
And they'll feel so much better because, you know, I'm sure you've had other people on talking about the gut mind connection and how the different neurotransmitters are made in your digestive tract, like serotonin, which is a antidepressant, and other things in the GI tract are so important to your mood.
Yes. And you've been looking into this for many, many years. So you talked about the fact that you wound up being a pharmacist because you were already kind of a science geek as a child, and you were thinking about going into conventional medicine, but then you were told, well, maybe you don't want to do that, and you chose pharmacy. And you know, something interesting right now is that pharmacists are one of the most trusted healthcare providers. I have to say nurses are also, in terms of public opinion.
Yeah, we're hands-on, and also we think, you know, it's interesting because I've taught nurses, pharmacists, was in a medical school for many years teaching doctors, and each group think very differently and have different personality types. So it's quite fascinating to witness that. And right now, the doctors, unfortunately, are kind of tied to this medical record where they have their nose more in the computer than they do looking in the eyes of the patient. And it's no fault of their own. They're not happy about it. Right now, we have the biggest amount of burnout with physicians and also physician suicide. So, and that's one of the reasons I started the website to train physicians and pharmacists and nurses, because the residents, I work with a lot of medical residents, and they were telling me, we need to know more. We want to know more about, you know, drugs from the past. And a lot of these drugs like hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak, those are older drugs, especially the hydroxychloroquine, that they know nothing about. And the other thing was, when I was in school, I'm sure when you were in school, every Friday we had journal clubs. So we had to learn how to read journal articles and do a lot of research. I know you do a lot of research and I do a lot of research. And they don't have that anymore. It's now a club that they meet once a month to talk about a journal article. And that's just, you know, if people want to. So very few students are in that club. So it's the education has changed drastically from when we were in school.
Yes, the education is very different. And really, in the old times, like you had shared with me, and again, I need you to move closer because we're not getting a good sound for you.
Okay.
So in the old days, now you said you even have older pharmacists who you work with now who remember, and I remember too, that in the regular pharmacies, there were things available such as ox bile, which can be so helpful for people with digestive problems.
Right. That was what I was talking about. Everyone that lost their gallbladder actually got that automatically as a prescription. And that's a game changer for people that don't have a gallbladder. And then I actually was reading studies recently back in the 80s. They were talking about if people were put on ox bile, if they had a problem with their gallbladder, which its bile is stored in the gallbladder. It's the bile not getting into the digestive tract that's the real issue, because it can't digest fat or emulsify it and absorb it the way it's supposed to be. So they were talking about giving bile salts, ox bile salts, to patients so they wouldn't lose their gallbladder. So all of these things that were in the medical literature back in the 80s. And I just love going and studying and looking at all.
And I just want to say, you're talking about the 1980s. That's just a minute ago.
For you and I, not for the medical students that I teach, you know, that's the old.
So has this information been expunged or taken out of pharmacists and medical education?
Absolutely. They know nothing about it. And the reason I was given an endowed professorship was because the chancellor at the university is an old pharmacist. He's like 85 and the smartest man in the whole university still. He's just still as smart as a whip. He said, I really want people to learn these things because they're very valuable and important that the doctors and the pharmacists and nurses know these things. So Nova is very special in that way because of him.
And you're talking about a major university that you are involved with. So
yeah,
I think
we're the eighth largest private university in the United States.
So this is right here near where I am, listeners, right here in Florida.
Yep.
And it is called Nova Southeastern University. And I would say there seems to be, because I have taught there also, Lynn, I taught in their nursing department. Mm-hmm. And the nursing department was very open to their nursing students being exposed to considering herbal medicine. In fact, they came with me to Miranda Farms to do an herb walk. So there seems to be at Nova, if people are thinking about an education, an openness at least.
Absolutely. It's still a very open-minded university, and where everybody's thinking is at least, you know, they're open to it and they don't try to have anybody's voice muted there, which is an amazing thing right now going on. So I just laud them very much for that. And we also on the campus actually have a medicinal garden of the plants from Florida that are medicinal.
I didn't know that. That's going to be our next field trip.
Yeah, absolutely.
That sounds like a good place to go with the camera crew.
Yeah.
So we'll have to put that on our schedule, because I do want to share with our listeners that I have been so happy to meet Dr. Lynn only a couple of months ago, because tonight I'm lecturing for the American Holistic Nurses Association, and she was a presenter there, and I attended her lecture. And by the way, any of you can attend tonight because it is free and open. Just go to naturalnurse.com calendar, and there's a click-through link to sign up for tonight's presentation. But that is how I met Lynn, because I'm always seeking new knowledge, and her presentation blew me away. And then I discovered, you know, we're really close to each other right here in Southern Florida. So I have visited her. I have learned more from her. I attended a beautiful presentation she was putting together. I don't know when that'll be available, but I'll give people a spoiler alert, Lynn, that yeah, you are an amazing chef, and you were doing a cooking show.
That's part of our classes, yes, because I want people to realize you cannot believe how many things you have right in your home that will save your life, and also that are antimicrobial and antiviral and kill bacteria and all sorts of things. Again, and we learned a lot of these things in pharmacy school, but then also my grandmother. And being a full-time professor, it hasn't been easy putting all this together, but I'm really committed to it, because I think people have been very disempowered. And I think we saw this with the information we got throughout the year with the COVID virus, because one day you'd hear one thing, and one day you'd hear hydroxychloroquine, then you'd hear it was bad, then you'd hear, oh no, they made up these studies making it bad because they want to sell more expensive drugs. And so it's nerve-wracking. People are in their houses eating lots of carbs probably. And
well, as a pharmacist, I want to just throw this one out to you, and just as a warning, we're going to take a little break here shortly. Okay. But on 60 Minutes there was a whole giant piece on something called fluvoxamine. Did you happen to see that?
No, I don't watch regular TV.
Well, on 60 Minutes this week, they did a giant piece on something that's fluvoxamine, which is a drug, but they found for off-label use, it was extremely helpful for COVID. So I was so shocked to even see them covering it, because it's an older drug. And it's been used for other things, not as an antimicrobial, but they found it was such a strong anti-inflammatory that if people did test positive for COVID, they wouldn't exacerbate into the later stages of disease. So I was amazed to see it on 60 Minutes, because like you're talking about, there seems to be a lot of suppression about these cheap, old, and how about vitamin D and vitamin C and zinc? You know,
that's
everybody.
What I put all my patients on at the very beginning, and
I think the government should be handing those out.
Absolutely.
I mean, they're spending millions and zillions and gillions of dollars to hand out vaccinations. So while you're there, or while you're getting tested, they should be giving little packets of vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. It would
Absolutely.
Cost almost nothing, right, and you know, do a major, major positive effect for the issues everyone is having. So we're going to take a little break right here, Lynn. And when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation. And you can find more about Lynn at drlynnlaffert.com. Dr. Lafferty, Dr. Lynn Lafferty, PharmD, ND, DACBN. Lots of training, lots of knowledge, and a fantastic chef and a wonderful person to boot. So we'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss an herb we all know and love, cinnamon.
Ah, spicy, sweet smell of cinnamon. Everyone recognizes the familiar aroma of this common kitchen spice. But did you know that cinnamon is an exotic plant bark with a long history of medicinal use in many countries throughout the world? Cinnamon was listed as an herb with medicinal properties in Chinese literature as early as 2700 BC. It is described in the Chinese medical text, the Tang Materia Medica, written in 659 AD. Cinnamon also enjoys traditional use in Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing art of India. It is mentioned in the Book of Moses and has been cultivated in Ceylon and Sri Lanka since 1200 AD, where much of the world's supply is still grown.
In Europe, cinnamon was regarded as a rare and precious spice. Many pharmaceutical substances, such as cough syrups and digestive tonics, contain cinnamon. It was also used as an incense and in perfumes. According to Chamberlain, writing in France in 1887, cinnamon possesses the greatest antiseptic properties. Cinnamon is gathered from the dried inner bark of the branches of a small tropical evergreen laurel tree. The bark is peeled off, and as the pieces are dried, they curl up into quills. These are the common cinnamon sticks that are used in herb teas and for baking.
In Chinese medicine, cinnamon is one of the most widely used warming herbs to aid in circulation and digestion. It is a common ingredient in small amounts in tea used for nausea during pregnancy. It is also used following delivery to decrease hemorrhage. Cinnamon raises vitality, warms and stimulates all the vital functions of the body, counteracts congestion, improves the digestive system, relieves abdominal spasms, and aids in peripheral circulation. The essential oils contained in cinnamon include eugenol, cinnamonic aldehyde, methyl eugenol, tannins, and mannitol, which give cinnamon its sweet flavor. It also contains cinnzenolin and cinnzenolol, which are both known insecticides.
In many medicinal recipes that are used for lice, scabies, and other skin parasites, cinnamon has antifungal, antiviral, and bactericidal activities. It has been shown to suppress E. coli, Staphylococcus, and Candida albicans.
So, listeners, the next time you inhale that sweet, spicy aroma, remember there's more to cinnamon than meets the nose as you reach into your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can find out more by going to naturalnurse.com and go to calendar if you want to see lots of our up-and-coming classes. We have classes in herbal manufacturing, legal considerations. We have one coming up called Career Paths in Natural Medicine. Perhaps you'd like to have as your profession doing natural, as I do and as our wonderful guest today, Dr. Lynn Lafferty, does, and she's a PharmD. So, you know, whatever you're doing, you can move into natural. For instance, we had a wonderful session where Dr. Lynn had a cinematographer producer there. And so she's doing her thing with cameras and layouts and lighting, yet she is interested in natural. And there she is conversing. The conversation around her is about that. So no matter what your skill set is, you can move to where your professional life, as well as your personal life, is really entrenched in natural. And boy, is that true for you nurses out there. I have literally hundreds of nurses studying about moving into being a holistic nurse. So thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for being here today, Dr. Lynn Lafferty. And Dr. Lynn's website is Dr. Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Lafferty, L-A-F-F-E-R-T-Y.com. But don't write while you're driving. Just go to the archive of the show and you'll find it and you can click right on it. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ellen.
And I'm hearing you loud and clear. That's good.
Good.
And we're having a conversation about what's going on with you. For instance, you actually are able, through the School of Pharmacy, at NOVA, you're actually able to talk to people about their own health and wellness.
Yeah, it's great. They come and the appointments last about an hour and a half. I get three types of patients. You probably get similar patients. I get a group of people that probably listen to a lot of these radio shows who aren't interested in more of what's going on in medicine. They might not want to take the traditional drugs they're giving now or get some of the testing or something like that. So I get those patients. And then I get a group, especially I get children with ADHD because the drugs that they give is exactly almost identical to something that's already in the body called norepinephrine. And one thing people don't realize that drugs wouldn't work if it didn't look like something in your body or something natural pretty much, because that's what your body is programmed to recognize. Otherwise, it's recognized as a poison, which some of them are also. But anyway, the children, to make the norepinephrine, they have to be eating protein. And a lot of children's diets I found are very protein deficient. So, and also there's a lot of studies with ADD and ADHD, attention deficit disorder, where when they give children iron or give them zinc or fish oils, actually the symptoms go down. There's studies they've done. Also taking toxins out of the diet. I'm actually on the board of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, so we're very big into looking at what toxins are in the foods or that's in your household that might be causing people to be sick or for their biochemistry not to work properly. And then the third group I get are people who have been all over. They've been to Harvard and Mayo Clinic, and the traditional regular medicine says, I don't have anything for you. And so they'll come and try to find if there's something that might be outside the box of regular medicine. And most of 99.9% there is.
But again, it's not always what you can do for the client or patient who's coming. You know, you also act as an educator because they have to take some steps for themselves. Once someone watches that beautiful cooking show you put together, you see what you're putting in your food. It's like sort of a salad of herbs and spices.
Yeah, and all of those herbs and spices and phytochemicals that are in, you know, our greens or the carrots or whatever, they all have a place in the body and they help heal the body. And they're finding more and more. As a matter of fact, there's one doctor who wrote a journal article about the diet we should be doing is counting our phytonutrients and looking at it from that perspective for true health. And I really believe that's true.
So when someone has a consult with you, again, you give them dietary recommendations as well as perhaps some lifestyle choices and supplements that they can use.
Correct. Yep. And what to take out too, because what you're removing is just as important, because sometimes if you're living in a mold infested house, or, you know, if somebody comes in and they've got a bunion and they keep wearing the pointy toed shoe, there's not much you can do to go around that because you're continually causing the assault to the body. So it's really important. I had a really interesting case actually of, and it was one of my students. She was about 26 years old and she was always dragging and she was late, and she was a good person and she was a person you knew wanted to do well. So sometimes you might get the lazy student. I didn't get that from her, that she was lazy. And when I questioned her about it, this young girl, she'd been sick since she was 10 years old. She probably had been to 25 hospitals and had been in such severe pain. By the time she was 12, she was actually taking oxycodone. And she had begged when she was 21 to have her gallbladder removed, and it actually helped her just a little bit. And so when I questioned her, I said, what does your father do? And she said, he's a UPS driver. And I said, you know, because I said, you didn't grow up on a farm. No, she in the suburbs of Pittsburgh. And then I said, you know, I could swear you've been hit by some chemicals. And she goes, oh, she goes, well, on the weekends, my father has a landscaping business. And she said, where, when you go to, if you were going to buy like, the glyphosate at Home Depot, it's, I think it's 3 or 6% glyphosate. We get it in big drums at 50%. So she, since she was 5 years old, she'd gotten hit with these toxic chemicals her whole life, and also helped with the drums, like putting the chemical into the, and diluting it and things like that. And she asked a good question, because it really helped her when she got a detox, what we call a detoxification, which means we give herbs and diets and foods that'll help support the liver in getting rid of those chemicals out of the body. But the first thing you have to do is make sure you're not reassaulting it and getting away from those chemicals. Now, she was older, so she wasn't doing it, but it was still wreaking a lot of havoc in her house. I had another really interesting, similar case to that too, with another student. Her, she had some severe symptoms, but her sister at 19 was getting her jaw removed because she was getting bone cancer in her jaw. And they're like, oh, no, no, we weren't with chemicals. And then they go, oh, well, their father sold the poisons. And it was like a pile of sand, I guess, that he would sell or mix up. And the mother told me, oh yeah, they used to play in that when they were kids, like it was a sand pile. So there's so many things like that, that people are getting really ill, and doing a whole information intake about the environment that you're living in now, or what you lived in as a kid, is really, really important as well.
Absolutely. So if you were to do, let's say, it sounds like you use detoxification as an intervention, probably pretty often, because so many of the clients and patients that you're seeing have some kind of toxicity. So what would, you know, there's lots of different kinds of detox programs around. What would a normal initial one be? Or is it really different depending on the individual?
Yes, it's very different depending on the individual, because before I do a detoxification in a lot of my patients, I rebuild the adrenal gland, where I'm giving them like a desiccated adrenal or a licorice or something like that, so they have more energy. Because if you do a detox too fast and you're not healthy enough for it, it can put people, you know, in bed and get really sick. One of the clinics we have a world famous physician at Nova. It's called the Neuroimmune Clinic. And these patients have chronic fatigue syndrome, and they're really probably the sickest people. She also works with Gulf War syndrome people as well, who got hit with so many chemicals in the first Gulf War. So both of these patients, they've had like grown up on toxic dumps, or they got hit by really horrible chemicals. And then a lot of them had viruses when they were young, especially Epstein-Barr virus seems to attack the adrenal gland specifically.
And so let me ask you this, Dr. Lynn, what do you think is going to happen with these long-term, like they're talking about extended COVID patients who get it and then seem to have a very similar milieu of symptoms?
Correct. And, you know, when I was a kid, my doctor graduated from medical school in 1897, and he had Sigmund Freud as a professor. And he gave us adrenal shots when we were kids and when we got sick, and you always felt so much better, and licorice tablets, because that also improves your adrenals. And so I started doing that with these patients that have chronic viruses and things like that, even if they don't have the chronic fatigue. And boy, even when I present, I'm going to be doing a free immune seminar coming up on the 15th at drlynlafferty.com. All are invited. And we're going to talk about how the adrenals, there's a lot in the medical literature, how they play a big role in the immune system. So I've had some of these patients that were in the hospital, really ill, and putting them on the adrenal, boy, it's changed their life for sure.
So this is interesting. You're saying, and I absolutely agree, that before you take somebody who's already feeling pretty ill and put them on a detox, because a detox causes a lot of symptoms for many reasons. So you might get a Herzheimer reaction because of a candida die-off, which makes you feel worse, or you might feel really weak because you're leaching toxins from the fatty tissue into your blood. And you're saying that's probably not the best first step when someone's ill. First, you're building them up, getting them to change their diet, and teaching them about some of the effects they may feel during a detox. So I think that's a really educated way to go.
And there's different levels of detox. For instance, at the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, again, those doctors are getting really sick patients. Lots of them will start with the infrared sauna, with a bath of Epsom salt, a bath of Epsom salt. It's got magnesium, but also it's got sulfur, which sulfur helps to detoxify. Even that can make people sick. I remember one patient, I started just with a small cup of beet juice. And this is a woman that had grown up on top of a toxic dump. And she got even was in bed for 2 days after the beet juice. So, that's why I'm really excited that medical practitioners with these really sick patients are really learning these things and understand how you have to do these things sometimes in baby steps. And yet, you know, when you do it in baby steps too, one of the things I give people is a 200 question survey. And I have to have them focus on what's gotten better, because some things will get better in a week. They might be focused on the fact they've been bedridden for 2 years, and they're not, they don't have the energy to get up yet and clean their house. But the fact that, oh yeah, I am sleeping a little better, or I'm eating a little more, or I'm pooping a little more often, focusing then on, okay, you've improved 10% in a week, and it didn't happen. This took years to create. So, also I think it's really important to coach the patient, and that's part of, being a shaman or being a healer is also the psychological and the support that you can get better, you will get better, focusing your attention what has gotten better, giving that blessings. And
you'll be talking about that definitely as part of your class, Becoming a Health Investigator. And we're going to take a little break right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, so you can hear about some of the wonderful programming here at our home station, Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And then we will be right back with Dr. Lynn Lafferty, naturopathic doctor, pharmacist, and highly educated and compassionate healthcare professional. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And thank you for joining us once again right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and we have so many books. Just go to naturalnurse.com. Look under products and books, and there's a full page of the many books we have written, many of which are top sellers. One is called Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, and Weight Loss, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, and Cycles of Life Herbs for Women, and The Natural Guide to Great Sex, and many others. The Arthritis book is particularly excellent because that can just be renamed Bring Down Inflammation. And we'll go back to our guest, Dr. Lynn Lafferty, PharmD, ND, DAC, BN. And you can find her at Dr. Lynn Lafferty, DrLynnLafferty.com. And she is seeing clients, which is really fantastic. Now, Dr. Lynn, you're able to see people nowadays through telemedicine, I imagine.
Yeah, I have patients from India, from England, and all over the United States. So absolutely.
So I would say that's been one of the positive effects. If we have to, you know, everything has a bright side to it. Uh-huh. So in terms of this COVID epidemic, I think it has really opened up medicine so much and made so many excellent practitioners like yourself available to everyone, even if they're not in the local area.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really, though I have to say, when I had my private practice, I had people from all over the country come because I had a practice of helping people get off their medications that wanted to get off. And I have a lot of physicians that send me patients. I like working with your physician, you working with your physician in order to do that. I just am giving suggestions of what I would do because I can't legally take anybody off from a medication, I guess. And so, but you have always the right to also do it yourself and how you might do that so that it would be responsibly. And I have a lot of physicians because they're not taught how to take people off medications. And sometimes the cardiologist will put somebody on a bunch of medications and the gastroenterologist and the psychiatrist and all these different things. And a lot of these drugs are doing harm and they are actually reacting together and things like that. So that really is where my pharmacy background comes in really handy.
It's so important. And we hear all the time in medical schools and pharmacy schools, little blips about herbs are dangerous because of herb-drug interactions, which that is possible. It's very minor. In most cases, very few cases, it is possible, it should be considered, but yet they don't discuss what you just brought up, Dr. Lynn, drug-drug interactions, which are much more severe.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's a wonderful service because sometimes people may be on like, you know, five or more meds that they're taking every day.
Yeah. And also, they also don't realize that a lot of the vitamins they take are also like drugs because what the FDA did back in the 30s, they picked one chemical like ascorbic acid and they called it vitamin C, but ascorbic acid doesn't show up by itself in nature. And the vitamins that you take also the body has to make transformation before they can actually be used biochemically. So when you take either from a plant, let's say acerola cherries, for instance, has the biggest amount of vitamin C, I think, of any plant, or peppers are very high in vitamin C, you're going to get things called bioflavonoids and all sorts of other factors that help in the absorption, the bioassimilation of those. And even better yet, a lot of times when you take it from animal tissue, so for instance, the product you use is tetrahydromethylfolate, not folic acid. It has to go through quite a few conversions. Well, the cow, if you take cow liver tablets or whatever, the cow is going to make that product because the cow or the animals make this very, either the same or very, very similar transformations to their vitamins that we do. So you're getting a higher level of vitamin. And I know you and I talked about this with the iron. And I recommend anybody that needs iron or wondering to listen to your seminar coming up because you're going to make a lot of these points, which is really great.
It's true. And you have access in your practice to these, they're supplements now, but they used to be considered something that would be found in the pharmacy, even when you were training and you learned about it from your older professors that you actually have available.
Correct. The desiccated adrenal. Again, Lilly Pharmaceutical, I remember, used to make that and doctors would prescribe it when I was in school. And fortunately, a company I use called Standard Process still makes it. And they've been around since 1929. So they both of our deans of the medical and pharmacy school have been to their company to see their labs and really were blown away at how they're committed to quality. So all the herbal products that I carry either on my website or on at the pharmacy are, I have studied for a long time. I look at their quality assurances. I try to go to the company, see, you know, their laboratories, what type of quality assurances they have, because I know, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago with ginkgo, was it, or was it with ginseng, that they looked at products and there was none in there in the
right. That happened in New York State.
Yeah.
The New York State inspector went and pulled herbs off the shelves, opened bottles and analyzed them and found either they didn't have what it said on the label or not the amount. And yeah, that's certainly true in inferior products, which certainly can be.
A lot of people don't realize like certain parts of the plant needs to be used, but they don't require that for labeling. So for instance, people will always go, we have a saw palmetto product, and they'll say, well, how come yours is so much more expensive than going across the street at one of the chain drugstores? And I say, because you'll see it says palmetto berries, because that's where most of the active ingredients are. And if we have a lot of saw palmetto here in Florida, and if you look, they only berry, I think, once or twice a year, and the berries are really, really small. So that's
right.
Going to be a lot more expensive than using a stem or the leaf.
Which is certainly another way to go. Not everyone can do that, but since I'm here in Florida, I collect the saw palmetto berries, but you need to know what they look like and what they smell like at the one time of year that they're ready for gathering. And also you should know that snakes, including rattlesnakes, love them too. So you have to be really careful when you're digging under those bushes, because the berries are under on the bottom part of, you know, the plant. Uh-huh. So that is a great way to get them. But there's a big difference between a really well done product and just taking some saw palmetto leaves, grinding them up, put them in a capsule and say it's saw palmetto, which it legally is. It's just not the part that you would want to use.
Yeah, it's not going to be as effective, I don't think, as doing the parts that we
know. It's really true. So we're getting to the end of our time together. Believe it or not, it went so fast. But tell people more about this great class, because I know what you did, even in the cooking demonstration, talk about bioflavonoids and vitamin C. You just used organic oranges and organic orange peel right in your recipes.
Right. So what the course is, I'm just trying to empower people so that you feel that you can take charge of your health and also have, you know, again, certain things we learned in pharmacy school, because I'm sure you learned this as a nurse. If somebody gets poisoned, go burn some toast, because that charcoal from the toast will absorb the poison. So there's so many things like that that you have right, or you can have right in your kitchen, like lavender oil for burns and all sorts of things, even on a first aid level. And I actually do a presentation for all the employees. They have a safety thing, and I do a first aid presentation in your home for all the employees at Nova once a year. But there's so many things that don't take a long time. You can grow things in your window box, like oregano will grow just about anywhere, and it's probably the most powerful antibiotic, natural antibiotic, the oil. So there's so many things in the kitchen. So I want to show you the research, give you some pointers. I want to show you how to make a recipe. We're going to go into my garden. I have an acre of land, look at different trees you might want to plant on if you have property, or how you can grow herbs inside and outside in the summer and in the fall, and then bring them in some others inside and in the winter if you live in a climate that has different seasons. So I want to give as much information to empower the person. And we're going to have also, like yourself, you were a guest on the show, so it was great. And we had a wonderful lunch. But also people like lawyers, you know, some people go to a hospital and they don't know what to do, and they're frustrated because their loved one isn't getting the care. And they don't know that there's something called a patient advocate. So how you can call on the patient advocate to come immediately and they'll help you. So there's so many little things that would empower people. And that's really, even in the medication world, like old medicines or things maybe the pharmacist can order for you and be very inexpensive and helpful. So That's what becoming a body becoming your own health investigator is about. And also want to show you how you can go online. Fortunately, now a lot of studies are online, and I'm going to show you how to go online and how to read a study. Sometimes the studies are very complicated and cumbersome, but there's something called an abstract, and you can read those. And usually those are pretty straightforward and easy for anyone to understand.
So lots and lots of learning will be in this class.
Things. Yep.
Thank you so much for that recap.
Please come to drlynlafferty.com, drlynnlafferty.com. And just look around, read the blogs. There's lots of things that are free. The class is very inexpensive. It's a 10-week course, and you'll get a certificate afterwards. So, and you're going to be helping with the course, and some, and you'll be also on the free podcast, and the live lecture we'll have, but you'll be recorded for your favorite herbs for the immune system.
Yep, that's coming right up. I'll get that to you by the end of the
7 p.m. Eastern. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Lynn. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, at naturalnurse.com, along with my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, hoping that you stay healthy.